Well, good morning, East Cobb Church. If we don't know each other yet, I'm Jamie. I'm the pastor of East Cobb Church. So glad you're here. Good to see you. And for the couple of you wondering, I'm growing a beard. That is happening. It's my first beard of my whole life, y'all. I've never had a beard before. My wife was like, just one time for me, will you please grow a beard? And I was like, yeah, all right. So here I am. And she's given me really great feedback so far. I think she's a big fan. So if you don't like it, listen, chances are it's not going to be around forever. And also just try to remember, I'm not married to you. So, but it's good to see y'all. I've got a couple of questions before we launch into the sermon. I got just a couple questions to get us thinking in the direction that we're going today. Quick question. If you could have any restaurant and put it right next to your neighborhood, which restaurant would it be? Just want to think about it real quick. One restaurant that's missing from your world right now. In fact, if you're with somebody, turn to them and tell them what it is. What is it? What's the one restaurant you're like, man, we need one, and I want it near our house? Yeah, mine is probably off the wall, but there's one. I just want a Houston's, man. Y'all know what a Houston's is? Houston's has these baby back ribs and these like little skinny fries that, oh my goodness. You just put it next to the Marlowe's. I get my Marlowe's and my Houston's, and I'll be a happy boy. That's what I want. Or how about this? Any entertainment option. I mean, I don't know if it's bowling or movies for you or indoor skydiving, whatever. What would it be? If you could just like, man, if we could have one of those right down the road and it wasn't crowded, that would be awesome. You know, what would that be for you? Mine would be, I was thinking about this. I'm kind of, I got a big dreamer here. I just want a roller coaster park like down the road, but not a crowded one, not like Universal. It's just like me and my friends. It's just ours. Okay. That's what I want. I'm like, oh, that'd be so amazing. I love roller coasters. Or how about a more serious question? You don't have to say this one out loud or share it. Obviously this one's kind of personal, but just in general, if you could make the world better in one way, what would you do? I mean, like if you could do one thing, you could just by decree for everybody on planet Earth, maybe it's that this would always be this way. Everything, this would happen every time in this world, or this would never happen ever again. If you could pick one way to make the world better, what would you pick? What would you do? That's the lines that I want us thinking down today. And listen, I know that question maybe hits close to home because we're in an election year and we just had an election. I get it. But even on a normal year, even on a normal month, even on a normal day, isn't it crazy how somebody asks you that question, or if I ask you that question, it's crazy how many things start coming to mind. Like, oh my gosh, how long you got? One, I got 100. I got so many things that I can think of. Man, if I could make the world better, I have a whole list. In fact, if I had a pad of paper up here and we just started going around, hey, what's one way? What's one way? What's one way? Not only would they fill the page, but I bet we would be equal parts inspired, like, oh, that would be great, and equal parts heartbroken. You know, because some of the stuff people would say, and that's just every single one of us. We've all got in us an idea of the world the way we wish it was, and it's not just a world that has like a Houston's and a roller coaster park. No, it's bigger than that. It's like a world where goodness and justice and honesty and loving kindness holds sway. You know, it's a world where there's no hate and there's no violence and there's no oppression and there's no poverty and there's no sickness, where things like, cancer and car wrecks and tragedies don't happen. I mean, that's the level of thought that we have when we think about the world the way that it should be. You don't have to dig deep in your soul. You don't have to dig deep in your imagination to find both a picture of and a desire for the world the way you wish it was. And you want to know why that is? Because it's the world the way it was meant to be. It's the world the way it was meant to be, the way God initially made it. And as we're going to see, it's the world the way one day it will be once again. So we're starting a series. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about, this may be interesting to you, I don't know, but we're going to talk about the thing that Jesus talked about more than any other thing. There's one thing that Jesus talked about the most by far, more than anything else. And I'm kind of excited because I don't know if any of us even could guess what it is, unless you just saw the video. But like, if I were to ask you prior to coming today, like, hey, what's the thing that Jesus talked about the most? I'm sure we would have like had some answers in common. Like, no, it's love. Jesus is like all about love. He talked about love the most. I'm sure of it. Or serving. You know, Jesus is like all about serving. And that was kind of a big thing. Or maybe you'd be like, oh, it's got to be heaven and hell, right? You know, like, hell's going to be hot. You know, like, isn't that kind of what church is about? It's heaven and hell. I'm sure Jesus talked about that the most. Or maybe some of y'all be like, it's got to be money. I've seen those preachers on TV. Money. Jesus talked about money. And you may be surprised to know that it is, in fact, none of those. Though Jesus did preach about those are important subjects, not saying they're not. There is something else. His primary message, his most repeated topic, the central theme of all of his preaching and literally his whole life was this right here. It was the kingdom of heaven. It was the kingdom of heaven. It was what he called the kingdom of heaven. In fact, do you know that this is how he launched his whole public life, his whole public ministry, as we call it? So like, if you're just reading the gospels and the story of Jesus, you have his birth. We don't really have much about his growing up. But then one day he comes back onto the scene of Jerusalem and Judea. He gets baptized by this crazy guy, John the Baptist. And that's amazing. He goes out into the wilderness to be kind of famously tempted by Satan. And then he, you know, passes that test and he comes out of his baptism and his temptation, his testing. And he comes full force onto the public scene, preaching and doing miracles. And if you were reading in this section in your Bible, particularly in Matthew, it probably even has a heading that says, Jesus began to preach. So here it is, it's the beginning. And this is literally what it says. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent. Which is just a word that means, hey, change your mind. Change your direction. I'm inviting everybody to adjust their life, bend your life, reorient your life, redirect your life in the direction of something specifically. Where you are going, I'm inviting you to go whoop and come a different direction. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And this is what he would preach about over and 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 over all the way until the very end. In fact, you know that there are 132 references to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Those are the same terms, similar cousin terms that mean the same thing. This invitation to bend your life, to join your life and participate in this coming kingdom of heaven that Jesus said he came to establish. Did you know that almost all of Jesus's parables are about the kingdom of heaven? In fact, you'll see it. Notice it next time. You'll see him say, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. It'll tell the story that you're like, huh? You know? And most of his parables were about this thing, the kingdom of heaven. At one point, he even would say, you know, this is in the end of the day, this is why God sent me to tell you about the kingdom of heaven and to launch the kingdom of heaven, to begin the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And in fact, it was this thing, it was this teaching of his, it was this claim of his that would get him killed. He was crucified on a cross and they would put over the victim a placard that said, your crime. And you may know what was written on his placard. It said, Jesus, the King of the Jews. Of course, they meant it to mock him. But it's what he believed, and it's what he said, and it's what he claimed. How dare he claim to be a king? There is a king in Jerusalem already. How dare he be the king? There's an empire already. It was a threat to the rulers of his day, and that's why they crucified him, claiming to be a king. And while to those in authority and those in power and to the rulers of Rome, it was threatening news. The kingdom of heaven to them sounded like threatening news. To everyone else who heard it, do you know what it came to be known as? It actually developed its own name, its own title. We still say it to this day. To everybody else who heard about this coming kingdom of heaven, it sounded like good news. They were like, oh, that's good news. This is starting to sound like good news, because the more that they listened, the more that they realized that Jesus was talking about something that had been inside them the whole time. He was talking about the coming of the world the way they wished it was. And it was good news, because the kingdom of his sermons, it matched the desire of their souls. And they're like, yes, this is awesome. And with each passing sermon and with each passing miracle, like, hope began to bubble up. Hope began to rise. With each passing sermon and each passing parable and each passing explanation for what is this kingdom that he'd come to bring, hope began to arise. Hope that, like, oh my gosh, maybe it's true. Oh my gosh, maybe it's here. Maybe this ache that we have for the world the way they wish it was, like, maybe it's actually possible. Maybe it's actually arrived through this new King Jesus. And it was this hope that would eventually spread across the whole world to right here, 2024 church, the kingdom of heaven. It's near. It's here. And we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about it. And I know we probably are familiar with more, you know, the idea that Jesus is king. Our senior pastor, Andy Stanley, says this a lot. Have you noticed that in his sermons? Talk about Jesus being a king. He's like, we have a king. If you're a Jesus follower, you have a king. You should follow your king. You should listen to your king. You should surrender to your king. And I bet more of us in the room, maybe many of us in the room, you're familiar with this idea of Jesus as a king or the phrase Jesus is Lord. Like you've heard that before, but I'm not sure how many of us know about his kingdom. I'm not sure how many of us have clarity about what it is and how we've been invited to participate in it and why it is that it's good news. And so that's what we're gonna talk about, what it is and how you've been invited to participate. And here's why. It's not just for your knowledge, like, oh, it's just, you know, you'll know more when it's done. Here's why I'm excited to tell you about the kingdom of heaven. Here's what Jesus said about it. And this, man, this verse intrigues me every time that I read it. This is what Jesus, I think, would say he is anticipating to come out of a series or even just a sermon like today. Here were his words. He said, hey, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. That's John the baptizer, the guy that baptized Jesus, his cousin. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. And here's the phrase, everyone is forcing their way into it. Another way of like understanding that, they're beating down the doors to get in. People are just like, whoa, I want in on that. Up to that, so he's saying, you know, up to that point in time, the message of God had been the law and the prophets of ancient Judaism. But then starting with John, a brand new message was proclaimed. Was beginning to be proclaimed. A brand new invitation was being issued by God to everybody on planet Earth. And it's that the kingdom of heaven was near. And you're invited. You're invited to participate in it. According to Jesus, anyone who heard it, anyone who got a taste of it, anyone who got a glimpse of it, anyone who saw it for what it really was, flocked to it. And that's my suspicion. Or maybe it's my hope with this series, that the more you hear about it, the more you discover it, or maybe even just the more you remember it. Like, yeah, I mean, I've heard it before, but like maybe the more you remember it all over again, the more that thing in you that longs for the world the way it was meant to be, the way you wish it was, the more that thing in you is going to go, yeah, I want to be a part of that. Man, I'm with those people beating down the doors to get in on that. I want to see that become a reality in my life. I want to see that become more of a reality in like my little orbit, in my family, in my community. I want to help bring that here. I want to love where I live. Let's bring the kingdom of heaven here. That's my suspicion. That's my hope. Because it's good news. That's Jesus' whole premise. He's like, no, this is good news. Not just for Christian people, not just for religious people. He's like, no, it's good news for everyone, it's good news for you. The world, the way you wish it was, the kingdom of heaven is, it's come, it's here. The life you're looking for, it's near, and you're invited. But here's the deal, for those of us who are Christians, who are Jesus followers, it's not just an invitation, it's actually a command of Jesus. It's the very thing that he has tasked us with building here on earth and in our community. We are the people, we're in the business of being and building the kingdom of heaven. It's the mission that our king has given us. It's why we do church. And by the way, it was our mission before Tuesday for the last 4 years. And guess what? When we woke up on Wednesday, still our mission, and it's gonna be our mission for the next 4 years. We are the people who are in the business of being and building the kingdom of heaven. It's our mission, and it always will be. And that's why I wanna talk about it. And here's how I want to talk about it today. Today, I just want to focus on like, what is it? What in the world is the kingdom of heaven? And are we going to be like Disney? Is that what we're talking about? Is this like Game of Thrones? What picture am I supposed to have? That's what I want to talk about today. And I want to talk about it this way. Here's how I want to talk about it. Jesus, one time, he said this. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like, okay, so here's one of those parables I was telling you about. The kingdom of heaven is like, and he said this time, he's like, it's like a mustard seed. Which means nothing to us. It meant something to them because they were farmers, right? He said, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like the tiny little mustard seed. The mustard seed is the smallest seed that they would have planted in a garden. It's the smallest seed in all the garden. He said, it's like a mustard seed, the tiniest little seed that once you plant it, it actually ends up growing into the biggest tree in the whole garden. Starts out tiny. And then by the time it's growing, it's the biggest. It overshadows the whole entire garden. And that's how I want to talk about it. I want to start with the smallest version of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven in its smallest, most tiny form, the smallest form that it's in. And then I want to like go from there and zoom out and fill in the picture of what the kingdom of heaven is. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about this mustard seed, the tiny little seed that grows into something big. What is the kingdom of heaven? And here's the first part. I want to just start small. At its core, at its smallest, the kingdom of heaven is a realm of divine rule. That's what it is. The kingdom of heaven, it is a realm of divine rule. The kingdom of heaven is anywhere that God is in charge. It's any person, any family, any church, any community where God and his ways and his values and his heart and his priority and his love and his good news and his justice and his righteousness has been put on the throne. Wherever God is in charge, wherever God is in charge, there is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus' core invitation to every single person that he met, and same as his invitation to you, was to personally join the kingdom of heaven. Was to become like a little outpost of the kingdom of heaven. That was Jesus' core invitation, to become your own personal little outpost of the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom that's not built on brick and mortar. A kingdom that's not made up of castles and crowns. A kingdom that doesn't actually look like what we see in the Disney movies or in Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones or anything like that. But a kingdom that's actually made up of human hearts and families and communities and churches. One that's made up of hearts and families and communities and churches who have prayed and are committed to living out the one simple prayer that Jesus invited us to pray. It's in the Lord's Prayer. He said it this way. It's like, this is the kingdom of heaven right now. It's hearts and families and churches and communities that just pray and live out this right here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, let your kingdom come. God, let it hold sway. Let it reign on earth, or at least in my little piece of earth, in my little orbit, just as it is in heaven. It's people who pray, or families who pray, or any community that decides in some measure, hey, God, you're in charge of me and mine. Whatever's in my hands, you're in charge of me and mine. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go where you want me to go, and I want to be who you want me to be. That's the kingdom of heaven. It's a realm of divine rule. And that's why the kingdom of heaven is like a little mustard seed. Because it starts really small. It starts right here in the human heart. The kingdom of heaven in your life, it does not begin with like some big building or big movement or big song or big experience or big battle. No, it starts in your heart with a simple decision. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in me, in my orbit, as it is in heaven. It's a small little seed that begins right here. The realm of divine rule. A little realm, a little outpost of divine rule right here. But it's a little seed, as we're gonna see, that grows into something increasingly epic. Because there's more to it than just a realm of divine rule. But before I move on, I do want to acknowledge this. This is really important. And I used to have this objection to all this before myself. So if this is you, I've been there. I want to acknowledge that there are people now, and there have been people throughout history, and you probably know some examples, people who claimed the kingdom of heaven with their mouth. Yeah, the kingdom of heaven. I belong to God. I'm living for God. And yet they did awful things to other people. Or they treated people in awful ways. They did awful things. They treated people in awful ways. And so if you are skeptical of the idea of like, man, I don't even know this like kingdom of heaven stuff is a good idea, okay? I understand. We as Jesus followers, we have Christians throughout history have not always gotten this right. So I can understand if you're skeptical. There have been people who have claimed to follow Jesus, but what they were actually doing was using Jesus's name and his fame and his credibility and his authority to prop up their own agenda and their own desires. They were building a kingdom, but they just weren't building Jesus's. They're just trying to use his kingdom or his name or his brand to build their own and to further their own agenda and their own power. And so if that's you, if you've been like hurt by somebody claiming to follow Jesus, or you've been like taken advantage of, or if you've just been turned off by it, being like, oh my gosh, that's just no way, that's not legit, it's not authentic. I want to say I'm sorry. That breaks my heart. But what you were seeing was not the kingdom of heaven. You were seeing somebody else's. They were just co-opting it for their own gain. Because here's the deal. Here's how you know. Because when God's reign and his rule is realized in somebody's life, not only do they flourish, the people around them flourish. And the family flourishes. And the community flourishes. And that's because the kingdom of heaven is more than just divine rule. A little place, a little foothold, a little outpost of the divine rule of God. It's more than that. It's actually meant to grow. That's the seed. But that seed is meant to grow outward into the second thing the kingdom of heaven is, and that is, it's a way of life. When your heart and your life and your family and your endeavors are brought under the authority of King Jesus, that's not just a platitude. It's not just lip service. It's not just a label. It's not just like, oh, hashtag blessed. You know, it's not just a hashtag. No, it's a way that you're committing to. It's a lifestyle. It's something that moves from your heart to your hands and to your feet and to your words and to your relationships and to your actions and reactions and to your habits and to your priorities and to the way you interact with the community and on so and so and so forth, on and on and on. It goes from your heart to your hands. And that's what you hear in Jesus's keynote sermon, his marquee sermon, the one that he preached everywhere that he went, the one that we know as the Sermon on the Mount. That's what you hear in it. You don't just hear about a belief like Jesus is Lord, woohoo. No, even more, you hear about a lifestyle that results from it. And that's what he said all throughout the sermon. He's like over and over again, multiple times. This is just a sampling. He says like, hey, when you live under my rule, when you join in with the kingdom of heaven, you bring, you know, your little earth, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, my little earth and my little whatever I got under the authority of Jesus. He's like, when you do that, something happens. Here's what happens. You are, or you start becoming light of the world. That's what happens. You start becoming the salt of the earth, you know, that seasons and flavors in a good way and preserves in a good way. You hear these words of mine and you don't just like, you know, woo, out the door and just go live however you want. It's like, no. What you do and start doing is you start hearing these words of mine and you put them into practice. That's what you're committing to when you bring your life and your heart into then your family and whatever you got into the kingdom of heaven. You're like signing on to the lifelong mission that by the power of God in you, you're gonna, love your enemies. You're gonna pray for your enemies. You're gonna turn the other cheek. You're gonna forgive relentlessly. You're gonna take the low place of a servant. You're gonna do those kinds of things. You're gonna bit by bit live with more love, more joy and more peace, more patience and more kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You remember that? That's the fruits of the Spirit. We did a whole sermon series on that this summer. That's what you're signing on to, the lifelong pursuit of the bit by bit, by the power of God in you, you're gonna live more and more and more and more and more and look more and more and more like Jesus. Because it's a way. It's not just a realm of divine rule. Which is, by the way, do you know that followers of Jesus, they were not called Christians at first, like for a long time. That was a political designation given to them in Antioch, well after the fact. Jesus followers at first were simply called, they were called followers of the way. That's what they were called because that's what it looked like. Like, oh, look, there's the kingdom of heaven. Those people are living in the way of Jesus. That's how you know. Look, just look at them. Kingdom of heaven is a way of life. And by the way, this is so important. This is how you know those other people are frauds. The ones who are like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus, kingdom of heaven. And then they hate people or they hurt people or in history, they, you know, kill people. It's awful things. That's how you know they're frauds because they, while they claim Jesus with their lips, they deny him with their life. That's how you know. And that's why I think, every skeptic in the room, even if you're a skeptic, again, I totally know where you are. That's why I think even skeptics in the room, you ought to be a fan of and maybe even consider participating in the kingdom of heaven because it just works. It's good. When it actually happens, when people walk in this way of Jesus, it's so good. In fact, I wrote some things down. Just like, imagine with me for just a minute. Imagine a neighborhood. Imagine a community. Imagine a country where actions are motivated by love. That's the way of Jesus. Imagine a neighborhood or community where decisions reflect wisdom and justice, where relationships are marked by grace, where every person is treated with dignity and respect as image bearers of God, where people compete to out-honor each other and out-serve each other, where offenses are forgiven and feuds are dismantled, where the poor and the broken and the hurting are uplifted. I mean, doesn't that sound like a world you'd be on board for? Like, yeah, that's the kingdom of heaven. It's people walking in the way of Jesus. And yo, Jesus followers church, this is the most compelling thing we have to offer to our community. Not a statement of belief, though that's important, yes. But the most compelling thing we have to offer the community is walking in the way of Jesus. Walking or living in a way that looks like light, that tastes like salt, just the right amount. People go, ah, that's good. What is that? Oh, it's the kingdom of heaven. It's a realm of divine rule. It starts small, but it works its way out from my heart to my hands. And it's the way that I live, bit by bit, by bit, by bit. But that's not all. Eventually, the kingdom of heaven is something that grows to be even bigger than just me, because it's meant to grow and transform and come together into a community of grace. Excuse me. Should have coughed the opposite direction of the mic. My bad, guys. It's meant to grow into a community of grace. Oh man, one of the most beautiful things about what God envisions for the world is that we're not invited to live under the authority of God and to walk in the way of Jesus alone. That's not his plan. That's not the vision here. We're supposed to come together. We're meant to come together and become more together than we would apart. Why? Because as King Solomon said all those years ago, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And I need to be sharpened on my own in just utter isolation. I too am most likely going to become a fraud. On my own and in isolation, I too am most likely going to slip back into just claiming Jesus with my lips, but denying him with how I treat you, or how I prioritize my life, or how I serve my family, or the vices and the habits that I let myself indulge in, or the shortcuts that I give myself permission to take. Because it's just, we're just stronger together. There's strength in numbers. And by the way, I'll just speak for men. Men, if you have an intention of living in and living out the kingdom of heaven in your life and in your family and in your career and your job and whatever God's put in your hands, you're gonna need to have some friends, or I would say some bros to your right and to left that you're just like going through life with, who are willing to fight for you, because we're better together. That's how we're created. We're better together. We're meant to be more together than we are apart. This is supposed to be a community. And it's not just that we're better together. On top of that, we're brighter together. And I mean that like metaphorically. In our efforts to be the light of the world, we are brighter together. It's like your phone, turning on the little flashlight. Yeah, it's kind of bright. But when you get in a stadium, like a college game, and it's fourth quarter, and everybody does that lights out and turns their phone lights on, and you're like, dang, it's lighting up the whole sky. I mean, that's what happens here in the community of Jesus. Like, if you want an example, take Be Rich, this annual campaign of giving that we do. We're going on $100 million given away to our community. Or let's talk about every time I just randomly stand up here and I'm like, hey, there's kids in our community that don't have backpacks. Or there's like a family in crisis. And within 24 hours, you guys just like overgive to the need. I mean, it's like almost embarrassing. I'm like, I don't even know what to do with all this. It's like too many backpacks, you know? Y'all, it's emotional for me. You want to talk about what makes me emotional? It's like my kids and my marriage. And then it's like, it's emotional for me to watch how powerful you are for good together. It's so emotional. It's so unbelievable. And this is why when Jesus launched his movement, he didn't give the world a solo spiritual journey. Like, here's your Devo. Have fun. See you in heaven. No, he gave the world a gathering. He gave the world a gathering. He called it the ecclesia, which means gathering in Greek. It's what we call the church. That's what he started. Do you know that's why we meet on Sundays? It wasn't like, hey, we got an idea. It was like, just meet. No, this is what Jesus started. Jesus, he started a gathering. He's like, hey, the kingdom of heaven is near. And yeah, it starts small, right here in the heart. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And yeah, it grows a little bit and it moves to your hands. But then beyond that, it gets kind of big, because it's also a gathering. It's a family. It's a body. It's moving together and growing together and serving together and changing the world together. And here's the important part. There's one thing that's holding it all together. And it's this right here. A new command I give you. This is Jesus talking. And this is for the community. He's like, you don't want to know what you got to know? You got to do? You have to love one another. Oh, you're going to have to love one another. And not just anyway, as I've loved you, so you must do this. You must love one another like I've loved you. By this, everyone's going to know that you're my disciples, that you're my church, that you're my people. This is my kingdom. They're going to recognize the kingdom by how you love one another. Grace. given first by Jesus, who died on a cross to forgive our sins and rose from the dead to give us eternal life. Grace given first by Jesus and then passed on by us to one another. That's the linchpin holding this thing together. Grace. And I know that sounds fragile, but here's the secret. His grace is enough. Like the Apostle Paul says, that even though sin increases, his grace increases all the more. And grace is the thing holding us together. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of this community, the kingdom of heaven. It's a community of people living under the authority of God, walking in the way of Jesus, and held in community together with one another. And by the way, some one another's who are very different from each other and who sometimes are pretty hard to get along with and sometimes hard to like, but nevertheless held in community with one another by grace. That's beautiful. And that's what this is right here. So we've seen this is the whole Jesus' whole point, the mustard seed. He's like, it's small. It starts right here. But then boom, it moves here to the way that I'm calling you to walk in. But then when you guys come together, all of a sudden now you're seeing, like, oh, this might end up being the biggest tree in the whole garden. But that's not it. The fullest and most final version of the kingdom of heaven is a fourth thing. And this is the last answer that I have for you. What's the kingdom of heaven? Well, lastly, in its fullest and biggest form, the kingdom of heaven is a future hope. The kingdom of heaven is a future hope. The fullness of God's kingdom, the largest version of God's kingdom, is something that we hope for. It's not something that we currently have, right? Because so far I've listed three things and many of you in the room are like, well, I mean, to the best of my ability, I can check all three of those boxes. Yeah, I'm like living under God's authority and trying to walk in the way of Jesus. And I'm like, here I am, I'm in church. And yet you still sit there with an ache in your heart for the world the way that you wish it was. And this is why. It's because we live in the kingdom that is coming. It's drawn near. It's been kicked off. Jesus inaugurated it. He planted it, got like a little beachhead, you know, of influence. The kingdom of heaven has, it's coming, but it's not fully here yet. Not fully. It hasn't fully grown or been unveiled. So while we are in fact invited to participate in it now and experience it now, we are simultaneously looking forward to the day when Jesus is gonna come back and make God's reign and his rule complete and final and full over the whole wide world. And that's the biggest form of it. And in that time, when that day comes, when that kingdom is fully established, the things that we experience in part now, and we get, you know, we get glimpses of and tastes of now, things like healing and wholeness and restoration and reconciliation and renewal and justice and peace, those things will become permanent fixtures in what is to come. And according to the scriptures, that day is coming. In fact, it's on the calendar. We don't know what that day is, but the scriptures tell us that day is coming. The kingdom is coming, and it's coming. It's on the calendar. In fact, Jesus's disciple, John, God gave him a vision of what is to come, the kingdom to come. And it's in the book of Revelation. It's at the end of your Bible. It's the one you read and you're like, this is weird. Like, I don't know what's happening here. It's apocalyptic literature, and that's why it's metaphorical. It's got all these images, symbols, metaphors. They're hard to understand. But in this, we see part of the vision that God gave John of this kingdom that is coming. I just wanted to read it to you to close it out. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I don't even really know what that means, but there you go. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Again, metaphorical language. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I'm making all things new. And that's what we hold on to as people who are walking in the in-between, between the kingdom that has come and the kingdom that's gonna be complete. Like, the kingdom has come, it is coming. And we're in between that and the day when it's made fully complete. That's what we hold on to. That's what allows us to walk through adversity and walk through trial and walk through hardship. It's what allows us to survive and persevere through tragedy. and is what gives us strength even to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because the day's coming. The day's coming. The King is coming. And he's going to make all things new. He's going to make all things new. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's a mustard seed. It starts right here. It's a realm of divine rule. It's also a way of living. And then it's meant to blossom and grow into a community of grace that's holding on to the hope of the kingdom that's coming one day. And you're invited. You're invited. It's the world the way you wish it was. It's the life that you've been looking for. It's the hope that you hoped was really there. And Jesus said, it's here. So this is it, kingdom of heaven, Jesus' main message. It's what he died to make possible and rose from the dead to make available. It's what he modeled with his life. It's what he sent the Holy Spirit so that we could enjoy and experience and participate in and share with others. And when we embrace it, we find these four things. We find a king worth following. We find a way of life that works, makes sense, that's satisfying. We find a community where we can belong and grow and transform and be influential in the community and make a difference and be the light. And we find a hope for all of eternity. And when we embrace it, our lives, our marriages, our friendships, our families, our jobs, our communities, they get better. Why? Because it's the world we wished, the world the way we wished it was, come to earth. It's heaven come to earth. That's why. It's good news. It's good news. It's like it's here. The thing we've been aching for and looking for, it's here. And everyone's invited. And so that's the simple question for us today. What are you going to do with the invitation of Jesus? The kingdom is here. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond to the invitation? And that's going to be the invitation of every one of these sermons of this series. It's like, how are you going to respond to the invitation? Or really just to use Jesus's words. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, remember, it just simply means change your direction. Bend your life in the direction of. Put your life from one pathway onto the pathway of the kingdom of heaven, because it's here and you're invited. And that's my question, is how maybe do you want to respond to that? How maybe do you want to repent or shift your life today in response to the invitation of Jesus? Whether this is the first time you've heard it or the 40th time, how do you want to? And I have no idea. I have no idea how this intersects your life, but you do. And maybe it's one of these that I was talking about. Put that back up, please, if you don't mind, about the kingdom. For some of you, it's that first one. You're sitting there going like, my response to this invitation needs to be, I want it to be, to say yes to Jesus for the very first time, to take my life and whatever I've gotten in my eternity and just say, hey, it belongs to you. Jesus is the way. He's the door. He's the entry point into the kingdom of heaven. And perhaps you just want to bring your life and your eternity under his authority for the very first time. And you do that by just simply putting your faith in him and just acknowledging him as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that right here, right now. We're going to have a song to end. The band's going to come up here in just a second or even right now. And maybe this is the time where you want to go, hey, what he's talking about up on stage, I believe it and I want it. And that's how you want to repent and come home to your heavenly Father and bring your life under his authority for the first time. And you can do it. Others of you, though, maybe it's like the way. You're like, no, Jesus is like my king. I got that. But you know you've been living in another way. And you know it's not working. You know it's not paying off like you thought it would. And you just like know in your heart that today Jesus is going like, hey, come back. Come back into the kingdom. Come walk in my ways. Come build your life on the rock, not the sand. Or shoot, maybe you're not even a Jesus follower, but you just know the way you're on right now. You're like, this ain't working. Is there any other way? And I just want to tell you, there is. There is a way that leads to life. Come try it out and see if it's not real. Go walk in the way of Jesus. Some of you want to repent, change your way, and just bend your life in the direction of the way of the Jesus. Others of you, maybe it's the community, because you're like, man, I under God's authority, I'm walking in the way of Jesus, but you've been doing it alone, and you are isolated, and you're lonely, and you know that's dangerous, and Jesus is inviting you of like, hey, the kingdom of heaven is a community. You need to get in it. And maybe you want to repent of isolation and just go walk in community with some people. We'd love to help you find that. Or maybe the last one is this. Maybe yours is future hope. And you know it because you're like, I'm about to let go. I'm about to let go of hope. And you have a really good reason. If we knew your circumstances right now, we'd like cry with you. But you've forgotten the day is coming. You've forgotten, or you're about to forget that the day is coming. And Jesus today is just gently reminding you, oh, it's coming. Oh, it's coming. the day is coming when what's lost is gonna be restored, what's hurt is gonna be healed, what's broken is gonna be fixed, what's ruined is gonna be redeemed, and what's dead is gonna come alive. So hold on. And maybe today you just need to repent of hopelessness. You need to repent of, I'm gonna give up, and you go, no, I'm gonna hold on to hope. I don't know what it is for you, but the invitation is repent. The kingdom of heaven is here. So as we sing this song together, that's all I want you to do is, how do you wanna respond to the invitation of Jesus to you? And maybe while we're singing, maybe you wanna tell him. Maybe you wanna take that step. Let's do it. Let's sing together.